How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My Family Thinks I'm Crazy, a podcast where I, your host, try to give you some tips on how you can explain all this weird, wild, crazy conspiracy stuff to the people you love most. Because that's what I've been trying to do for the past 10 years with no success.
I've been telling everybody that our government is shady. But every time I do, my family thinks I'm crazy. The hollow earth, UFOs, aliens invading. Fluoride in the water, they swear the sky is daily. When I talk about these things, they think I'm crazy. There's no escaping anymore, the evil that we're facing. Illuminati mind control, they're sacrificing babies. The end of days, but anyways, my family thinks I'm crazy.
What, they don't want to listen to you? No, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They're just like, oh, here we go, Mark. Off again with your
Mark being Mark again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the thing about podcasts is when you're on the air, and it's like therapy, you know. If I can't talk to my family about this stuff, I'll talk to you, Matt, and all our listeners.
You'll just tell your whole podcast.
Yeah. So who are we talking about today, Matt?
Did create a flood of eidetic imagery. They did seem to open up insight into what would have to be called mystical landscapes. There was the sense that they were penetrating the world of gnosis. When LSD was made illegal in the United States in the 1960s, as an afterthought, so were all other known psychedelics. And consequently, our description of what these compounds are capable of tends to be equated with a type of instant psychoanalysis. You would take these substances and, through a recovery of childhood trauma and insight into your situation, you would shed neurotic attitudes. It was a type of wonder drug for psychological problems. And there it was left because research became illegal, particularly research with human beings. Nevertheless, there was a large underground community that continued to dabble in this area, and that community began to build up a picture of the activity of these substances that went well beyond the Freudian or the Jungian models. What gave particular impetus to this evolving point of view were the experiences people were having with psilocybin. Psilocybin is the active hallucinogenic compound in certain species of mushrooms that have been used for millennia in the central Mexican highlands. Under the influence of psilocybin, there is an experience of contact with a speaking entity, an interior voice that I call the Logos. The Logos spoke the truth, an incontrovertible truth. Socrates had what he called his demon, his informing other, and the ease with which psilocybin induces this phenomenon makes it, from the viewpoint of a materialist or reductionist rooted in the scientific tradition, almost miraculous. The Logos as a speaking entity is present only under psilocybin, and this entity appears to be distinct from one's psyche. On psilocybin, one feels that one accesses, or one is placed in a position to access some independent transpsychic source of information, which seems to convey the authentic meaning of things. Under psilocybin, I have heard this voice give the answers to all the questions asked at a press conference the evening before, and I've seen a woman's entire future laid out before her, complete with the name of her to-be husband and details of the wedding. The effect of psilocybin also includes a feeling of connection to the entirety of existence. It is perhaps the most intense feeling of love and affection for nature and for other human beings that one can experience. Certainly, this is how it appears to Western first-timers.
You just heard a selection from The Archaic Revival by Terence McKenna, read to you in the voice of Terrence McKenna, rendered by AI. I'm your host, Mystic Mark, and on today's show, we have returning guest Adam Schell, founder and creator of Brain Supreme. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy this conversation with Adam Schell.
ADHD is a reaction to how insane our modern education system is, our modern nutrition is, and our modern sick care model is, okay? You're not distracted, you're bored, you're doing shit you shouldn't be doing, you're under fluorescent lights, you're blasted by blue light, you're hit by EMFs, you're fed food that's loaded with chemicals and neurotoxic agents, you've got food coloring, you've got preservative, you've got aspartame, you know, all this shit, okay? So get the shit out of your system, and then those bullshit diagnoses like ADHD and ADD, they just disappear. So I think when you realize it's about biology and neurotoxicity, you can take control of it much more, as opposed to thinking you got to go to a doctor. Okay? That's really what it's about.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are back again on the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast, and joining us for his return to the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast is a friend of the show, someone who has been helping the show out in multiple ways. The founder, the CEO of Brain Supreme is joining us again. Adam Schell, welcome back. And I say you've been helping the podcast because your product has elevated, I think, in a lot of ways, my podcast protocol, like the different steps that I take to create this podcast. I have experimented with microdosing while doing that, and obviously not microdosing. So I have a good, you know, test case. And I think if people listen to the episodes where I've microdosed and then they compare to the episodes where I haven't, there's a noticeable difference. So what do you think of that? And also, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back with you, man. You're the guy. You started it all for me.
Oh, wow. I'm forever loyal. Happy to help with that.
You were my first podcast, and then you kicked it all off. Kind of the quality of that podcast started to get me on other podcasts. So I am very happy to hear that it's effective for you. I am not surprised. That's pretty standard with what we find. The thing with Brain Supreme, and this is going to come off as like much more arrogant than I mean, but these products work. And if they don't work, it's you, it's not the product. But you can do certain things that can then get the product working. So your reaction, I'm thrilled to hear it, but it's pretty much the standard reaction that like you get that 5, 10, 15, sometimes 20% bump in your efficacy, your ability to organize, verbal fluidity, vocabulary, you know, just it's pretty consistent. There's, in fact, every podcast that I've been on, sometimes I can send samples beforehand. They all notice the same thing. It definitely upgrades their podcasting and hosting ability.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about it. It definitely helps. And it's made me realize that maybe ADHD is more of a factor in my life than I previously allowed myself to admit, because some of the things that will stop me from being productive, I guess, are ADHD symptoms. And that seems to be exactly what the psilocybin addresses. But it's not just psilocybin. You have a complex supplement, right? So
yes,
we should talk about that, because I feel like people hear the ad promo and they think, oh, Mark's selling mushrooms. It's really not. It's so much more than that. And I think you guys have put a lot of effort into creating a balanced product, and I notice it because I do have an all psilocybin microdosing capsule. And it's a different experience when I take that compared to when I take Brain Supreme. So I guess to serve this in the form of a question, like, talk to us about that complete stack and like how you've rounded out psilocybin with these other herbs and supplements to create this effect.
Okay. A couple things. Well, for your listeners, just to kind of hit it off, this is a Black Friday special. So there will be a nice 25% discount code. I think we'll probably do crazy 25. So if you're just hearing the first chunk and you got to go, like, there'll be a big Thanksgiving discount, Black Friday discount, crazy 25. And then, okay, a couple things I want to address there. First off, I want to disabuse the notion of ADD, ADHD. It's complete bullshit, okay? So you're wearing blue light blocking glasses right now. Good on you. I have blue light blocking screen protector. Blue light is a contract of DARPA and the CIA, okay? So we're being infiltrated with blue light, which compromises our, okay, it's not ADHD, it's neurotoxicity. It's our biology that's corrupted, and that corruption of the biology has certain symptoms. But when you categorize the symptom, now you're in the pharmaceutical model and they can create something for it. They can give you a drug for it. But the drug just has side effect and side effect and side effect and further spirals you down onto more drugs. If you approach your biology and your neurology as sacred, and you do everything you can to detoxify your biology and your neurology, then you can focus. You can concentrate more. You know, ADHD is a reaction to how insane our modern education system is, our modern nutrition is, and our modern sick care model is, okay? You're not distracted. You're bored. You're doing shit you shouldn't be doing. You're under fluorescent lights. You're blasted by blue light. You're hit by EMFs. You're fed food that's loaded with chemicals and neurotoxic agents. You've got food coloring. You've got preservative. You've got aspartame. You know, all this shit, okay? So get the shit out of your system. And then those bullshit diagnoses is like ADHD and ADD, they just disappear. So I think when you realize it's about biology and neurotoxicity, you can take control of it much more as opposed to thinking you got to go to a doctor, okay? Mm-hmm. That's really what it's about. Cut down, work to mitigate the EMF in your home, all right? Keep crystals around, read about organite and so forth, and the benefit of crystals. You can use some copper wire in your house. There's so many great TikToks and Instagrams and podcasts about that. I'm sure if you go through your litany of podcasts, you've probably had somebody on who's an EMF specialist and so forth. In fact, I kind of recall listening to one. So that's one thing. Take control of your personal health and your biology. They want your biology. They want to own your biology. Now, what we set out to do with Brain Supreme was to approach microdosing as the ultimate form of life supplementation, okay? I'm a big believer in the heroic dose. I like recreational dosing. I think there's an argument in the mushroom space that they should be completely sacred and only used for therapies and heroic journeys. And I think that's the ultimate value of mushrooms, is the transcendental experience that you can have from them. But I think at the recreational and supplemental level, these products are so beneficial. Also, when you take into consideration just how fucked up our world is, you know, we're assaulted biologically, emotionally, information-wise. And so if you can eat a couple pieces of a high-quality chocolate bar and hit a cruising altitude on the weekend as opposed to drinking four or five beers, it's so much better for you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I got no problem with any of it. I think it's all excellent. But specifically what we set out to do at Brain Supreme was to really approach microdosing as the ultimate form of supplementation. And in doing that, we created our own type of mushroom that we call Russian Envy. We were crossbreeding and bringing over genetics and we were working sound and energy, and we were importing all these exotic manures and purifying them to really, and then basically the mushrooms listened to us, and we had this glorious mutation from the different strains we're working with. And it was this most beautiful, looked like a thick, fat penis envy, but it was like so blue, it's extraordinary. And then we were able to propagate that mushroom. So we have our own unique mushroom that's perfect for microdosing. And then we spent a lot of time thinking about for the different effects. So when we set up with the company, you know, when you launch a brand, it kind of helps to launch with a couple different. Genius was the first one we launched with, and Genius is our most nootropic formulation. So each capsule has 100 milligrams of the secret ingredient. So by the way, the thing is that it's just got to be understood, okay? Our products contain the secret ingredient, which is psilocybin, but then we downplay that for obvious reasons that I think all your listeners can understand.
Right.
The Brain Supreme proprietary mushroom blend contains 100 milligrams of the secret ingredient, And then we blend with Genius. We blend with high quality nootropics. Nootropics are the category of supplements that are for neurological and brain performance. That's Genius. Psilocybin in its essence is the best nootropic in the world. So every one of our products is greatly enhances neurocognition. Not greatly, but somewhat depends on the person, but should be demonstrative in that it improves your neurocognition. And scientific studies these days are even supporting that. So we've got Genius, which is our most nootropic formulation. Then we have Feel Good, where we blend with adaptogenic herbs that are for the mood, libido, kind of emotional well-being. Then we have our Athlete formula. I believe I sent you that as well. And what we do with Athlete is we take 100 milligrams of our secret ingredient. We blend it with natural testosterone booster. So this is great for women because testosterone is the dominant hormone for both men and women, more so with men. But women need healthy testosterone levels, especially as they age, bone density, ability to withhold muscle, prevent skin sagging, and all those things. So Athlete is our athletic formulation. We blend with natural hormonal support, testosterone boosters, and cardiovascular supportive herbs. And then we have Blackstack, and Blackstack is our extra strength for people who need a stronger microdose. That has 250 milligrams of the secret ingredient. And then we blend that with a little bit of nano curcumin, ginger, and very high quality vitamin C for the immune system and for absorption. So that's our four product line.
Wow. A lot of complex terms thrown at me there. I want to break down some of those adaptogens that you just mentioned, some of the herbs that go into the nootropic blend, because I understand nootropics from the perspective of psilocybin, and I'm glad you said psilocybin is the most powerful nootropic. Does that make sense to me? I feel like other herbs I've tried have a lesser potency. And maybe that's just because they don't go straight to your, you know, brain the way psilocybin does. But I have had a few strange experiences trying different herbs and things in the past. What exactly made you choose these that go along with the psilocybin? Is there a complementary effect there?
So interestingly, psilocybin is very synergistic with nutrients, amino acids, herbs, and so forth. Works very well with a multitude. We discovered a little bit of a secret sauce with certain amino acids, very high quality vitamin C, that kind of creates our base of our blend. And then what we did is we just kind of, we looked at the pantheon of nootropic products out there. We experiment without psilocybin. So, you know, Alpha Brain, Qualia, Thesis, all these different companies. And then we started to break down what their ingredient decks were. And we started to research each individual ingredient in each kind of recommended milligrams. Then we have to also think about the milligrams, whether you're taking one capsule or four capsules. So there's kind of a balance. So that's really what we did is, you know, that when you pick up a nootropic from a health food store or on Amazon, you're going to find alpha GPC, L-theanine, L-tyrosine. You might find guarana in there, ascorbic acid. There's pretty well-known nootropics out there. And they're all work and they're all effective. We found that combining the ones that we chose with psilocybin had a very nice synergistic effect, entourage effect, kind of a synergy that they would create with each other.
Right. Right. And is this all just a like a fancy branding way of saying like these are foods for your brain? Like, is that really how it is? Essentially, what we're talking about here is that these, you know, different materials, food materials, have chemicals or different components that are good for our brain.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the simple way to look at nootropics. Nootropics are the category of supplements that work with brain performance.
Right. Because I think the misconception I at least have with some of these, and not so much anymore, but when I was younger, was that these things are getting you high, right? And to a certain extent, when you feel good, what is that, right? You know, why do we feel high when we're on psilocybin? Why do we feel high when we're on certain drugs? Is it because there is a overall positive effect that's happening in the body? I wonder. And I kind of think that, you know, we're heading into a world where maybe the drugs of the past are going to be replaced by smarter, healthier options and maybe even smart drugs and things like that with some sort of nanotechnology component. But psilocybin seems to be the closest to the earth that we can find as far as herbs and supplements go.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So with psilocybin, it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory, a neuro anti-inflammatory. It decreases inflammation in the brain. So there's a couple. Essentially, if you want to simplify the science of psilocybin, is it moves your brain in a beneficial direction, whether you're cognizant of that or not. But for some reason, psilocybin just gets you feeling happier. Okay. There's different receptors in the brain that it stimulates, but there's a multitude of reasons why this happens. So that's basically the science of psilocybin. It just gets your brain kind of to a happier spot. There's also a high level of anti-inflammation. It reduces brain inflammation. It reduces ocular inflammation around the eyes and it reduces inner ear inflammation. That's why people report, even at the microdosing level, they think they see a little crisper, they hear a little crisper. That might be why at higher doses that people actually kind of see fractals or they see more things in nature, the visual acuity. It could be that certain synapses and neurons in the brain are getting fired. It could also be there's such a drastic reduction of inflammation that we're seeing things as they truly are. So it's a very kind of interesting way. But at the microdosing level, you might experience a little increase in visual acuity and in hearing. We're getting reports back from customers that some of their teenage autistic children are seeing a reversal of some of their autism. They're becoming a more verbal. We're getting some fantastic feedback along these lines as well. But I'm kind of like the anti-science guy. I think we spoke about the first time. Like, I'm so cynical with science and COVID and all that exposed. How many of these assholes are just completely owned and captured and got everything wrong? That I'm also a little cynical about that they're trying to take the mystical and divine aspect out of psilocybin. So it's quantifiable. Oh, we know exactly it hits this receptor and it does that. Because once it does that, now the cult of scientism can own it. And they can isolate certain molecules and they can patent it and then they can sell that to the pharmaceutical industry. So I'm very cynical about that, it's not that complex with mushrooms. You grow them well, try to give them a good, healthy environment with a lot of clean oxygen, air circulation, send some love and energy that way, dry them well, and then grind them, okay? Don't extract just the psilocybin single molecule extraction. Don't deal at all with synthetic psilocybin. I believe that there is the multitude of compounds in the whole mushroom is really what makes it divine. So as a company, we just grow them really well, dehydrate them well, and grind them well. We don't believe in single molecule extraction. But once the cult of science can analyze and understand every single aspect of the mushroom, then they own it, then it goes to the pharmaceutical industry, and then the people who have basically fucked up everything in the world and are the singular worst business institution that's ever existed is suddenly going to be the ones who are going to be the saviors. And to me, that's like you're deluded if you think once this gets in the hands of pharma, it's suddenly going to be, a miracle for everybody. That's just not how the pharma model kind of operates. So yeah, that's basically it. Like, simplify the science on psilocybin. It moves your brain in a beneficial direction, whether you're cognizant of it or not. And if you're cognizant of it, you bring some intentionality to your macro dose, your mid dose, or your supplemental dosing, like what we do at Brain Supreme, it can really help put the wind in your sails. Mm.
And I'm with you 100%. I think the mystery, the gray area, that's where the real beauty of life is. And, this cult of science seems to be wanting to sink its hooks into psilocybin. But I wonder, can you sell someone a spiritual experience? I imagine it would probably feel a lot like, well, a dogmatic religion at a certain extent. If this psilocybin becomes consumerized or diluted by the greedy effects of capitalism and the pharmaceutical industry's really specific way of going about that. I mean, I wonder if people would even trip at that point, right? Like, there's almost like an energy that's corrupted.
So when your listeners probably know like the history of Johns Hopkins, you know, like the CIA involvement, the pharmaceutical industry involvement, the amount of experiments that went on at Johns Hopkins, the origin, the doctor who basically created Johns Hopkins was like a lunatic, narcissist, a cocaine and heroin addict. Like, there's so much weird energy about that place that, you know, when you find out that they're one of the leaders in psilocybin research and they host different journeys and therapeutic experiences there, like, I would be very concerned about the energy that exists in those buildings and with that institution as well. So I agree with you. I think these things are sacred. I think they should be done in nature, or they should, that set and setting, as they say, really matters, especially when you're going at larger doses. If you want to have a therapist or a guide or a shaman along with you, I think that could be very beneficial and important. But they are at the recreational level, you know, 1.5 grams, 1 gram, it's going to be fine. You know, it's all going to be fine. But if you're going to go deeper than that, you need to be honest about what's really going on for you psychologically. If there's some real trauma that you think you might have, if there's rape or molestation, if there was the real abuse, some of those things might come out and you might want to have somebody there. You can heal a lot of those things and spontaneously, but you might want to have somebody there. But if you're a person who's kind of just taken some lumps along the way, but you're fundamentally well adjusted, you're doing okay in life, you just want to have an experience, have a reset, develop some understanding, heal a certain aspect, you can kind of do that on your own. But I often recommend you dip your toe in the water. So microdosing is its whole separate component. Like, microdosing is essentially a supplement. Best case scenario, with some of my veterans who saw some serious action in Afghanistan and Fallujah and stuff like that, they'll often say that they're 50 or 60% better. They stop having night terrors. They stop having suicidal ideation. Their ability to function just in everyday life becomes so much better. But for the most part, the generalized reaction to Brain Supreme is somewhere between 5 to 20% better in just how you function in your overall everyday life. So, like, my usual line is, it's an expensive supplement that you notice. You're like, oh God, I know what I'm paying for. It works. Great. Now, when you get to the higher doses, you can do them on your own and you can do them responsibly. But if you're concerned, do a mid-level dose first. Like, dip your toe in the water, you know, do 1 gram, 1.5 gram, get a sense of what the experience might be. And then you'll get a sense of what might get unpacked or become aware to you when you go heavier. If you are concerned about your mental space, your emotional well-being, just dip your toe in the psychedelic waters first before you dive in. And if you're at all concerned about diving in, try to find a psychedelic therapist or a retreat center that can support you during that process. Because in some ways, look, I think the statistic was from Michael Pollan's book and documentary series, How to Change Your Mind. 60% of the people who do just one psychedelic dose in their life call it one of the most, if not the most significant experience and best experience of their lives. The 40% who, and then there was like 20% who had a, you know, the significant experience, 20% had a negative experience. But even the 20% who had a negative experience, when they reflect back 6 months later, there was real benefit to what they went through. So these products are tremendously safe. They're tremendously effective. They should be dealt with very responsibly. And if you're going to do them on your own, and you haven't done it before, dip your toe in the water before you go too deep.
Yeah. Yeah. And be very careful about who you trust. You know, when I was younger and psychedelics were much more, I don't know, they felt new, definitely weren't new, but they felt new to me. And they were definitely a lot of bad situations I avoided by being smart and not doing psychedelics with the wrong people. But for the most part, it sounds like these, well, mushrooms in general help us acclimate to what the Earth's frequency actually is. And when you said the point about people's vision seems a little sharper as the inflammation is healed in their eyes, like, if our brains are inflamed from the entropy of life and the stress of our environment, then healing that, even temporarily, and that allows for this high, this, you know, sense of wonder, does that mean that that's our natural state of being? The state that the psilocybin puts us in? You know, is there any thought in you that maybe somewhere in our ancient past, you know, before we had all this stress and technology, like that was maybe more of a natural state of being, the type of state that you find yourself in with the help of psilocybin?
Interesting question. I would kind of say like kind of, part of. So what I would say is that it's tough for me to project into ancient times and so forth, you know, for the advent of modern agricultural and the industrial revolution and so forth, and the technological revolution. So what I would probably say is that the intensity of the psychedelic experience has always been there, consistent with the time and place that you're living in. Okay. If you were a caveman, you were still going to go on a mythic journey that would basically help you process the trauma of dealing with woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers and, you know, and how difficult it was to forage and so forth every day. Just like in today's modern age, it can help you process the stress of your job and the uncertainty of the world that we're living in and all the craziness and confusion. It can give you a sense of peace and clarity there. The thing that I would probably say in ancient times is the connection to the universal higher energies of life, the seasons, your food sourcing, your family, your most intimate relationships. I would probably say that that existed at a higher level in ancient times, and modern times, that insight that you get to just, it's all going to be okay. You know, God loves you. We live on a cooperative and sustainable world, and somehow it's all going to work out and you'll be taken care of. I would say that that level of decompression that the both microdosing and macrodosing, that insight that you get, I would say that that's probably more prevalent. That probably existed with a higher level of normalcy in ancient times. And that's one of the nice things that we probably get from the micro and the macro dose now. I just had a Brain Supreme client who's been microdosing, and then he managed to get a hold of some quality mushrooms, and just he put himself through a psychedelic experience. And I just started getting an explosion of text messages. I feel alive. I feel reborn. It was amazing. It was difficult. It was scary. It was the best thing I've ever done. And he's like, I just feel completely like I have a new perspective and a new lease on life. So it can often do that, and there can be kind of a spontaneous decompression that when you come back and you integrate into your everyday life, it does, you see things a little better. You understand things a little better. You know, the thing that I always say is that, so there's a line from Buddhism that once you hear the Dharma, the die is cast. So the Dharma is the truth, and the die is, you know, an ink, a stain. So that once you get to experience the truth, it's there. There's, in a way, there's that stain, but it's a beneficial stain. So what the macrodose does is it takes you into the realm of the mystical, deep into the realm of your own emotions, and it turns the light on. So the darkness that the room once occupied, where you didn't understand the pattern of the furniture or where anything was kind of laying out, the light gets spontaneously flipped on. And now you understand, oh, this is where that issue comes from, and I can unpack that, and that's all going to be okay. And this is how maybe spirit and the world operates, and that God is real and present, and that love is real. And then, you know, you come down from your journey, the lights dim and the lights go off, but the pattern of the room, the darkness is never the same. You know, it's like a super dark hotel room that you get to late at night, but you just flick the light on for a second, and now you, when you wake up at 4 a.m. to go take a piss, like, you know where the nightstand is and you know how to walk around there. So the macro experience turns the light on, okay? The light goes back off, but then the micro experience just keeps you walking back towards the illumination a little bit every day. So they work in complement very well with one another. But I would say that historically, it's probably needed more now than ever. You know, it's tough to say, but the stresses and bizarreness of modern life, the times that we're living in right now, where the lies, the falsity that our society and our culture has been built upon is just collapsing and collapsing and collapsing. It's really overwhelming. And also, I don't know if ever throughout history that the mechanisms and organizations of control were that organized and unified against humanity. So like when you listen to your podcast and podcasts like yours, like, and you realize that like the school system does not have your best interest, okay, at heart. The pharmaceutical interest does not have your best interest at heart. The media and Hollywood that you go to for entertainment does not have your best interest at heart. It goes, the food that you eat is engineered, keep you sick, and does not have your best interest at heart. That literally, like, all the pillars that organize our understanding of life and our psychology and how to operate in life, they are all collapsing. And I don't even want to talk about flat earth. When you hear an educated flat earther go up against a glober, like, they tend not to lose, you know, like how many lies our society is built upon, and it's all getting exposed right now. It's fucking overwhelming. And God knows we could all use some psychic and energetic and kind of archetypal support through this process and time.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is a part of our earth that works like a symbiotic system, even on these third, fourth, fifth, sixth dimensional levels. And maybe in that way, when there's a psychic or emotional damage as great as the one modern man is facing, the earth proliferates a solution for that in the form of psilocybin. Not that it hasn't always been around, but it seems like people are drawn to these substances ever since about, you know, maybe 60 years ago or so. All right, we're going to take a quick break for our dynamic ads in just a moment. And we want to thank our sponsors. Of course, Adam Schell is a sponsor, and we're talking about Brain Supreme the whole episode. So all I'll say is use the promo code CRAZY25 at checkout to save 25% off while the offer still lasts until November 30th of 2024. So if you're listening to this in the future, very sorry, but you can still use the promo code CRAZY15 if you did miss the date, and you can use the promo code CRAZY when checking out with the HIT Kit, the number one way to get lit. That is our first and foremost primary sponsor. The HIT Kit's been with us the longest out of all of our sponsors, and they have brand new designs. Awesome new HIT kits that you can use to protect whatever it is you're smoking on and never lose your lighter again. Use the HIT kit now with the promo code CRAZY and check it out. It's an amazing product that I stand by. And speaking of amazing products that I stand by, Raw Optics. These lenses are incredible. They've changed my life. I've been wearing them ever since I got them. And I do notice a difference in my mood and my consciousness and my sleep pattern. It's very interesting how something as simple as the blue light, how that affects your life. And I really probably wasn't getting enough sleep, or healthy sleep because of all the blue light. And then that was consequently affecting my day. So now with these Raw Optics, I feel a lot different. So go and check it out. rawoptics.com/crazyoptics. Use the promo code crazyoptics to save 10% off, and you help support the show. All right, folks, now we're going to listen to some dynamic ads. If you want every episode of the My Family Thinks I'm Crazy podcast ad-free and interruption-free, sign up on the Patreon or the Substack. The links are in the description. And we'll be right back to this interview with Adam Schell in just a moment.
Hi.
All right, folks. This ad is for the men in the audience 30 and up, so skip ahead if that's not you. All right, guys, listen, don't be ashamed if you can't keep it up in bed. Maybe you're smoking too much pot or drinking too much liquor. If that's not holding you back, there might be another issue. It could be something that you're being prescribed and it's causing dysfunctional erections. Well, that's no good. We don't want you suffering from that. Hims is here to help. Their over-the-counter product might be the stealthy solution to your cock confusion. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments, all from the comfort and privacy of your couch. Hims provides access to a range of doctor-trusted ED treatments such as chewable hard mints, proven treatments like Viagra and Cialis, or their generics for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. You don't have to visit a doctor. Just answer a series of questions on their site and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments online and start your free online visit today at hims.com/crazy. That's hims.com/crazy for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/crazy. The products mentioned are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Check out Hims and use my code CRAZY for a great deal. www.hims.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And there's definitely a history of psilocybin use within indigenous communities, but it wasn't until Gordon, Wasson, and a couple of, I think they were all bankers, ironically enough, who went and investigated the psilocybin mushroom as it was being used in Mexico. Yeah, and it's kind of, I don't know, in a way, irony, because, like, you know, the bankers of the world are contributing probably more than anyone else to making this world kind of a miserable place, yet these are the ones who sought out the psilocybin on a commercial scale. You know, they didn't invent this stuff, obviously, but they found it and brought it into the Western lexicon.
Well, he wrote the article for Life magazine.
Right.
So he was an amateur. I forget the guy's name. I'm so sorry.
Gordon
Wasson. It's
usually
like repertoire of things to talk about. But it was the guy and his wife, and it was 1954, and they went to that village. I think it was in Oaxaca.
Yep, and it was Maria
and
Sabina.
And the shamanic lady that they had an experience with her, and then they innocently wrote an article in Life magazine about the benefits and insights of this kind of shamanic psilocybin experience, and then that just that kicked everything off. That poor woman ended up being, that poor shaman woman, she died a pauper and was kind of thrown out of her village, and because the influx of first the Bohemians and then the hippies and then the Gringo trails, just they all just started coming, and it was overwhelming for this little village in this area and this mushroom that they kind of held sacred. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's Wernher von Braun on his tombstone. You know, the Nazi who organized NASA was brought over in Operation Paperclip, you know, one of the biggest fraudsters and evildoers in history. He has a line about God's firmament. I forget the actual scripture passage, but it's that we live under God's firmament. You know, this was on his tombstone. So I think when, unless your mind and soul are corrupted to the point where I'm not sure you're human anymore, or demonic possession, satanic possession, this is a whole separate conversation, go into theories on that. But if you're still fundamentally a human being and you engage in an inauthentic life, I think it always gnaws at you. It always eats away at you. And part of you then craves for authenticity. Sometimes it happens in the form of self-sabotage, or you go off the deep end, you know, like the guy who invented the McAfee, you know, kind of character. Sometimes it's a banker like this guy who went down to discover the origins of psilocybin because he was desperate to have a meaningful and authentic experience in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating the way these things make their way into the light. Peyote and other psychedelic substances were on the precipice, but for whatever reason, psilocybin took the forefront, and still I think it's probably the most available psychedelic.
Yeah.
You know, compared to LSD, which requires a lab, and peyote, which is a almost extinct plant species now, unfortunately. But psilocybin is not threatened at all, as far as I know, right?
I mean, the mushrooms are easy to grow. They're grown more than ever. They're grown better than ever. Although the market has collapsed on it. So from the bulk standpoint, like, some growers are cutting corners. And if any of your listeners are like picking up one of the chocolates out there, like, spend some money on it. Like, literally, like, if you're finding a chocolate bar for $15, buy the one for $80, because it's just not worth the risk. Some of them are knockoffs, and they'll use THC oil as opposed to psilocybin, or they'll use synthetic psilocybin. It's low quality. So yeah, it is getting commercialized and becoming a kind of commodity, but there's some very high quality products out there. There's some deeply committed entrepreneurs, but those products just tend to cost a little more. And that's tends to be how good the packaging looks and the cost. And then the ingredient list that you're reading will tend to be an indication that you're picking up a quality product.
Yeah. Now, I have a friend who has some health issues, and they're definitely apprehensive about trying psilocybin. They definitely have ADHD symptoms, and I'm glad you gave us that explanation, because I tend to agree with that perspective that these are just nonsense terms that they use to categorize our minds and prescribe us, you know, A, B, and C, that none of them are going to work, and they all lead to D, and then, oh, D didn't work, so you got to take E now, right? So it's like a whole scam. It's a racket. But it sounds to me like you have a reductionist sort of point of view, like reduce the amount of crap coming into your body, clean your diet, and then from there, psilocybin can help. It doesn't sound like people who are eating at McDonald's and not taking care of their health in these other realms are going to receive much of a benefit from psilocybin. Is that true? Well, is that the case?
Well, okay, not necessarily. So the thing with psilocybin is it doesn't relate to body weight. It relates to neurological needs, like what your brain needs and what level your brain's going to react to. So I've had over 2,500 conversations with there's more skilled people in the psilocybin world than I am by a lot. Okay. Brain scientists, mushroom scientists, and so forth, who've been in it much longer and have the degrees and the research and the knowledge. I've probably had more one-on-one conversations with people about how to microdose than I think anybody in the world. I'm like over 2,500 conversations with clients and customers and friends and my beta groups that we started with. So I've seen almost everything when it comes to psilocybin is it effective, how to make it effective. So here's what I've found. If you're neurotoxic, if you're on an SSRI or SNRI antidepressant, there's about a 50-50 chance that psilocybin might not be effective for you, okay? If your gut biome is highly compromised, your digestion, if you've been on a lot of pharmaceutical drugs, if you've done a lot of rounds of antibiotics and so forth, psilocybin might not be as effective. If you have some liver issues, psilocybin might not be as effective. It's never with good, well-grown psilocybin, with good mushrooms, especially at the microdosing level, there's never really any source of concern. There's not a single known pharmaceutical contraindication with any product. You're not going to take a psilocybin microdosing product, whether it's mine or somebody else's, where there's 100 milligrams or 150 milligrams per capsule and get any kind of negative reaction. It just might not work. It just might not be effective for you. And if it's not effective for you, if it's with my products, it's usually an indication that you've got to clean up your biology and your neurology and it will get effective. So in terms of your friend and the safety concerns, if he's getting a quality product, mine or somebody else's, there's really no safety concerns. If they're going to start and you just limp into the process, I have in my coaching protocol, by the way, on the website, we have a free brainsupreme.co.co. We have a free coaching course. It's under our shop. It's a free download. It's 8 videos. It goes through basically everything you ever need to know about microdosing and how to understand the macro experience in relation to the micro and so forth. Supplement dosing, performance dosing, peak day dosing, contraindications, we go through all of this. But one of the things I talk about with microdosing, if you're newer and you're concerned, demystify, familiarize, and then personalize. It's kind of the three ways to approach it. And the first is, if you have any concern, start with one capsule, 100 milligrams, open the capsule up, even just take half of it in a little bit of water with lemon juice. Just like be easy on yourself. There's more people who die from Tylenol on a daily basis than have ever died from a psychedelic, from psilocybin, in the history of psilocybin. Like, it is a highly safe and usually effective product. But start very small. Just limp into it, you know? You don't want to have concern. You know, the psilocybin will pick up on that anxiety. So you want to reduce the anxiety. Start really small and just limp into it. And then when you're going through this process of familiarization, where you scale your dosage up, you get what we call your sweet spot. And your sweet spot is perceptible, non-intoxicating, non-hallucinatory. Psilocybin at the microdosing level shouldn't be sub-perceptible. You want to perceive that you're operating at a slightly higher level. And so for most people, that's somewhere between 1 to 4 capsules or 100 to 400 milligrams of psilocybin. That's the range of microdosing for most people. For most people, it's 2 to maybe 300 milligrams. And you can also scale up over the course of the week. So this is in the supplement protocol, which for us is 5 days on and 2 days off. In the morning, on an empty stomach, water with lemon juice or coffee with fat. Okay. Those are the two ways we recommend taking the product. 20 to 30 minutes, you should feel some onset. And onset should be just a very gentle uptick in it, you know, in your performance and cognition. Sometimes it's a reduction of negative chatter. You just feel like these negative voices, they get a little less. You'll feel a little more heart opening. You'll feel a little more connection with people. It's subtle, but it can be, from a cumulative standpoint, can really have a tremendous influence, beneficial influence on your life, just like you were talking about in the beginning of the show. So in terms of your friend, demystify, limp in, half a capsule, one capsule, very, very small, okay? Then familiarize. Push your dosage up till you find your sweet spot. Perceptible, non-intoxicating, non-hallucinatory, you feel an uptick in your overall ability to perform. And then from there, you start to personalize. You can then go to performance dosing, which is what I do now. I like a more perceptible dose. So I'll take, for our products, I'll take 2 Athlete and 2 Genius on my 2 hardest training days, which is like Monday and Thursday usually. I do it about 35 minutes before I hit the gym. My workouts are flow state, and then the benefits of the microdose linger throughout the day and the next 2 days, and then I do it again. You could do it on, it doesn't matter, just that protocol is basically 1 day on, 2 days off, and then you do it twice a week. It's a very good protocol for athletes or martial artists and so forth. You'll do 1 practice day a week and then game day. So some of my athletes, collegiate and professional and so forth, they'll do like a Wednesday practice and then Saturday or Sunday game day. But you always want to understand how to performance dose. So you always want to approach the supplement dosing first, so you understand where your sweet spot is, and then maybe you push that a little bit, and that's your performance dose. Really much better coupled with morning exercise, because you kind of, you get that any a little bit more intense experience, and still very mild. You kind of, that goes right into your gym or your jiu-jitsu or your martial arts training, your hike, your run, whatever that might be. That's the performance dosing. And then the third way to do it is the peak day dosing, where, hey, I understand it, I really like it, I find if I do it every day, I notice it less, so I'm just now going to do it on peak days. You know, 2 times a month, I have this great workout, and then we have a very big day at work that I want to kind of peak for. So then you do your peak day dosing. But that's the three approaches we have. Supplement dosing, 5 days on, 2 days off, treat it as a supplement. Performance dosing, 2 days a week, 1 day on, 2 days off, a slightly more perceptible dose, better paired with your athletic endeavors or your good workout days or your days in nature. And then the occasional peak day dosing. So that's what I would recommend to your friend. You know, demystify, start real small, limp in, figure out how to work with it, figure out where your sweet spot is. And then once you do that, you can kind of play around. Also, you do want to honor your off days, because you will acclimate a little bit to microdosing. So taking your off days lets you flush. You still get the nice kind of perceptible effects on your, and then taking about a week off every 30 days is a good thing to do. And then sometimes longer breaks. You know, I myself, like, look, I own the company, I have a brand. Of course I want to sell a lot, and I want, you know, as many people and customers as I can possibly have. But honestly, you know, the thing with microdosing is that sometimes you should take like a month off, you know, or sometimes you're like, you know what? I think it's like run its course. I had this thing I was working on. I wanted to lose this weight, or there was this emotional thing. I can take some significant time off. The mushrooms and the products will kind of let you know where you need to be with it. But in terms of like building up all this anxiety around it, like literally getting in your car, you know, to drive to the convenience store, or taking any over-the-counter pharmaceutical product carries with it so much more risk than a quality microdosing supplement ever does.
Well, and on that note, if you are within the range of a microdose, which I guess 3 to 4 capsules, you might, depending on the person, you might be pushing the limits there, but you're safe to drive on 1, 2, 3 capsules. Like, I, speaking personally, not endorsing this, maybe you have a different thought, but I've never had a single issue driving on mushrooms, and I have even gone so far as to drive when I was much stupider and much younger while I was tripping, and we were fine. Although my friends thought we were going to crash, we were fine. So I will say, I don't know if you endorse that, but I've never had an issue driving while microdosing. Maybe it's best practice to stay home if this is your first time using it. But like, the point of this is not to like change your routine or keep you home. This is something that you can do in addition to your normal routine.
It should up-level your normal routine. Like, right, you should be able to perform. That's the whole point of microdosing. Like, I want to do the things I have to do with my life. I want to do them at a higher level. I want to do them more efficiently, and I want to enjoy them more. And that's microdosing. The Dell Center for Psychedelic Research and Therapeutics at the University of Texas, okay, studied, one of the first tests they did on microdosing was geriatric tap testing. They did a finger tap test. They brought 80-year-olds in, and they had them do a finger tap combination test. They tested the timing and the accuracy. They gave them a microdose, and I think about 40 minutes later, they retested, and there was a 13% improvement in just how they did a tap test in finger acuity. So things like, look, when you start the product, just emotional freedom. Like, you get to a certain age in life, like you just want emotional freedom. I don't want to be responsible for this or that or you. I got enough responsibility. So just like take a couple hours at home, do it on a Saturday, your first time, do it on a weekend. You're just going to do some housework and clean the apartment or the home, you know, do a little gardening. Just limp into it under the most relaxed possible setting you can. And then once you understand it, that it basically, it's a performance booster in your everyday, for your everyday life, then you're fine just going about your life and your work and so forth. I mean, I have a lot of high-level executives, and particularly lawyers, their ability to focus and concentrate while taking depositions and doing the real boring shit, they tell me, is like greatly increased. Which you kind of mentioned too, like the way you can organize your day and your podcast and so forth. So what's your protocol been? What are you, do you do supplement dosing or performance dosing, and at what level?
I'm definitely more in the range of supplement dosing. Occasionally I will performance dose, but not to work out. It's mostly like when I know I'll be out all day and I want to have that extra, I guess I call it like a stress buffer. Because I'll notice that when I'm driving, if I'm completely, you know, normal state, no psilocybin, no microdosing, I'm prone to hypervigilance, which isn't necessarily a bad thing while you're driving, because you want to be aware of everyone else on the road and take care of yourself and avoid accidents. But with microdosing, I find that it allows me to be more responsible with that hypervigilance. So I'm still aware, but I'm not flying off the handle emotionally if somebody does maybe signal to me that their car might be encroaching on my space, or, you know, they cut me off, they slam on their brakes, whatever might happen on the road that would, old Mark would get, you know. But with microdosing, even now when I'm not on a microdose, the effects of that have carried through, and I'm much more relaxed and much more composed and less likely to fly off the handle. So that, I would call that performance doses, I guess, because sometimes, like, I'll drive, I know I'm going to be driving all day, or I might be going somewhere like New York City, or where driving is stressful regardless of the, you know, day. So yeah, it's something that I'm on and off. I'm not a weekly, it's hard for me to keep a weekly routine about anything. So for me, it's very much like need based, right? If I foresee it coming. And then obviously, like today, I took some before our conversation just to give myself a better, well, and this right now, what I just did. So these moments have been happening on the podcast where I stop, I think, and I don't want to say with microdosing that they're always better, because here I go blanking right now, but I have used microdosing at a successful rate with the podcast, and I do find it easier to find the idea that I'm going for, or my next thought, my next question, when I've had a little help, we'll say. But I'm curious if there's any, because you said that this isn't, maybe I have a misconception here. I'm thinking like in the same terms as you would with cannabis, but are there any foods or anything that complements psilocybin? Because one thing that I remember learning when I was younger about cannabis is that if you eat something like mangoes or pineapples, the terpenes in the mangoes and the pineapples sort of gel with the terpenes in the cannabis, and they allow that to be more bioavailable. Mm. You get higher because of the terpene entourage effect.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
So I'm curious if there's anything like that with, because I think, you know, if you drink milk, right, that fat, no matter what's in your stomach, will help that, whatever it is, get through the rest of your body.
Certain supplements, the fat soluble supplements, yes, there we go, are better taken with milk or some heavy cream or coconut milk or something like that. So, okay. Well, you know, we put a whole coffee recipe up on the website with, So to answer your question, yes, there are a multitude of ingredients, especially at the microdosing level, that work synergistically with psilocybin. At the macro level, the emptier the stomach is, the better. Just water with lemon and water with some minerals and nutrients and so forth. At the microdosing level, particularly from the neurological performance space. So all the functional mushrooms, chaga, reishi, cordyceps, con, turkey tail, they're great. We have a recipe, the Brain Supreme coffee recipe, on the website. We basically add a whole bunch of different nootropics and adaptogens and so forth. And they all work very well. So I'll make an organic French press coffee. I'll add Ceylon cinnamon, a little bit of organic heavy cream, a little bit of coconut oil, creatine, Creatine is another nootropic. It's great for cognition, brain performance, and energy and building muscles and so forth. And then I'll add the OM adaptogenic functional mushroom blend, which has ashwagandha and then 10 different functional mushrooms in there. The ones I just mentioned, chaga rishi, cordyceps, turkey tail, maitake, shiitake, the whole array of them. And then rhodiola is another supplement that goes really well, a performance booster and energy performance, cardiovascular support with rhodiola. And then I've recently started taking methylene blue as well during the performance days and I find that works synergistically very well with psilocybin, because methylene blue was a turn of the century clothing dye. I believe it's made from coal, but it has incredible nootropic properties. It can pierce the blood-brain barrier and pull heavy metals and toxins out of the brain. It gives you a nice little boost of cognition and energy. So I actually have started adding rhodiola and methylene blue to my twice-weekly performance dose.
Wow.
Now, we're actually going to be working on a synergistic product line to really take performance dosing to the next level.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is the next step for these types of products. You know, it's the opposite of the pharmaceutical approach, mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. they're giving you, you know, a million products separated or 10 products separated into a million. You know, now we're giving people something that is a whole composite food. But methylene blue, did you say that it comes from coal?
It's a clothing dye originally, right. A turn of the century clothing dye. It's what made blue jeans blue originally. And there's some great podcasts on what you can learn about methylene blue, but methylene blue also reacts to red light. So you can take methylene blue and then you can expose yourself to red light, and it actually has a anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antiviral increased effect within the body, because the methylene blue reacts to the light.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. Group, I think is his name, Group. You'll find him, just Google methylene blue lectures, like YouTube it and Rumble it and so forth.
Yeah.
Very interesting supplement.
Definitely would like to look into that further. Now, considering what you do and your affinity for psilocybin, do you subscribe to the notion that mushrooms played a role in man's past, maybe making us what we are today, the whole stoned ape theory? Have you put any thought into that? Is that something that you subscribe to?
I think it's fun to talk about that eating the mushrooms gave us this caused primates to have a spontaneous explosion of neuroplasticity and new neuropathways that basically changed the way they look at the world. I don't ascribe to that. If I'm being completely honest, and I think your listeners will appreciate it, I'm in a point of transition from like the globe and evolution to flat earth and intelligent design. I'm almost had my kids like, don't talk about this, Dad, don't talk. I'm like, I think the audiences are going to like and appreciate this.
Yeah.
One of the things that's happened with 6 years of microdosing is my empathic abilities, my intuitive abilities, I think they've increased. I connect better and more easily with people. I think I am more open to truth. I'm less defensive about the ideas and beliefs I previously used to hold. And so intelligent design is just vibrating with me at a much higher level. The role of God and the divine in our lives and in the creation of our world is really resonating with me and seeming very truthful. So to answer your question, I think apes might have eaten mushrooms, but I think it might have just made their apeness more interesting. I think humans eat mushrooms and it deepens our humanness and our humanity and our connection to the divine. Hue means light, man means mind, beings with light in the mind. I think that's really what mushrooms do, is they turn the lights on in our own mind. And when the lights get turned on in your own mind, you're more connected to God and to the divine and to nature and the wonderful complexity and miracles of this, you know, world we're living in.
Absolutely well said. And I'm so glad to hear that, because it does feel like there's been a concerted effort to push the spiritual ecstasy that psilocybin brings and push it into this realm of materialism. And I feel like the stoned ape theory is one of the trappings of that attempt. And, you know, it's interesting. I wonder, you know, look at a guy like Joe Rogan, who's put thousands of conversations out on his podcast, hours long, and he's talked a lot about these concepts. I wonder how much psychedelics he actually takes on a weekly basis, because I don't get that sense from him. And maybe I'm just not paying attention close enough, but when he has had people like Paul Stamets on and others who share this sort of, I don't know, materialist paradigm, and that's how they go about explaining all this stuff through this materialist paradigm, it falls short of delivering what I think is the complete package, which is that heart message, the intuitive sense that you get when you hear someone who's also speaking from that heart center and with intuition. Again, I don't want to, you know, disparage Joe. He gets picked on enough by every podcaster. But when it comes to psilocybin, he's kind of popularized a very specific perspective on it, which is a more scientific one. And he does have some room for open-minded speculation, but I do get that sense from him that it's more of a laboratory science endeavor than it is a spiritual one.
Well, I mean, so there's a couple things that happen. First off, like, I think he works to be very, very respectful. I think he has a deep knowledge and understanding of psychedelics. And he's, I mean, from MO, you know, DMT, psilocybin, MDMA, I think he's done a lot of them. I think he's done a tremendous amount of good to open people up to the benefits and the psychic healing that can happen in large levels, energetic healing. And then at the microdosing level, I think for athletes in MMA and people with CTA and combat sports industry, I think he's done a lot of good. He likes science, you know, I mean, he was the founder along with Aubrey Marcus of Onnit, and, you know, Onnit's flagship product was Alpha Brain. And they studied the scientific merits of each ingredient and how they worked in conjunction. So I think he likes science. But I think he's a spiritual person. I think he's, but he has different guests on. I mean, when you've done almost 3,000 shows, you have a lot of people on. And the thing with old hippies, unfortunately, is that old hippies suck. They've lost their mind. The Trump derangement syndrome. And I think the origins of, so coming out of the 50s and the early bohemians and then the hippies, your shows have done a tremendous job of exposing how the CIA has manipulated and infiltrated and directed this in a large way. So it wasn't nearly as organic as we assumed it to be, this reaction to the homogeneity and the suppression and of our 40s and 50s in our society, kind of the post-war, and reacting to that. And while I was a kid, like, I always thought there was something interesting and really noble about that. I didn't know about the CIA involvement manipulation in that until much more recently. Podcasts like yours have really helped illuminate that. But the thing that I didn't understand until I moved to Northern California and lived there during COVID was how much narcissism is involved with the hippie origins. Selfishness. I want to do what I want, work when I want, smoke when I want, fuck who I want, and only be responsible for things that I want to be responsible for. It's not really the way a proper human being can live their lives, raise a family, and contribute to community and society and so forth. And then when COVID hit and when Trump got elected, these people literally lost their minds. So Rick Dobbin and Stamets, the shit they say on Rogan recently, like, it literally boggles the mind. And I think he called Dobbins out when Rick Dobbins was talking that he's going to have some you know, community-based corporation where he's going to work with the pharmaceutical industry and create these medicines and so forth. I mean, you know, Rogan was like, really? You think the pharmaceutical industry is going to, I mean, really, he kept pushing it. And when Stamets was talking about on his last Rogan podcast, maybe 8-9 months ago now, about how he's creating mushroom products, agaricon mushroom specifically, that can reduce vaccine hesitancy. Because if you take the agaricon at the same time as you get your COVID shot, you'll be less likely to have a reaction. I mean, literally, Joe was like mystified. But I don't think he wanted to go down that route, because it was the first 45 minutes of the podcast and he's got this guy booked for 3 hours. And so what's he gonna? So he kind of let it go. He didn't push him on it. So I think giving the guy a break, I think old hippies suck. I think he's trying to be respectful that they still have things to offer and wisdom to offer, which they do, but they've completely lost their mind. And it exposes the selfishness and narcissism of kind of the modern hippie, that it used to go from, I want to fucking do whatever I want, to now that same selfishness, your child's a germ bomb, vaccinate them, mask them, and get them the fuck away from me. Like, literally, I lived in Santa Rosa, California, Sebastopol, and these old hippies, like, they fucking lost their minds.
Right.
And they're fucking weird. I don't know what to say. It exposed this stupidity and selfishness that was probably always at the origins of their desires and what they were going for.
Right.
But so I think when it comes to the cult of scientism, and like how Huberman will do a 3-hour podcast all about psilocybin and quantifying every aspect and understanding every aspect of psilocybin. Like, I was listening to those podcasts and I was getting a little wrangled. I was thinking to myself, why is this bothering me? Like, am I being arrogant? Am I envious? Is my ego? Am I envious of this guy who's fitter than I am, more accomplished than I am, richer than I am, you know, all these things, or is there something else going on? And I don't want to completely remove my ego from reacting to a guy like that. But what was really annoying me is the removal of the divinity from these products, that in their entirety, the grown mushroom, ground and eaten and dried and eaten, isn't in and of itself this extraordinary mythical experience that should be appreciated, revered, celebrated, that it's basically a myriad of analogs that have to be analyzed and quantified. And then once they're analyzed and quantified, now we own them. Okay. If we know every single component of the mushroom and which receptor it hits and how it works and what it does, it just completely takes the mystery school out of it. It takes the divine out of it. It now can be completely categorized and it can be trademarked and it can be patented and then it can be owned. And because that's how these guys are institutionalized, you know, it's what I call exquisite miseducation. Huberman wasn't educated in the divine. He wasn't educated in understanding how God might have put these things here so that we can be more receptive and open to our own divinity and to God. You know, he comes from the cult of science that says somehow through a big bang and through lightning striking and amoebas transforming into this and then that, and, you know, evolving, that there's, that the world is a menu of analogs and organisms and chemicals and compounds to be understood, used individually. And that's what his life is about, you know, and he's a very successful product of that kind of life. And while there might be some kind of value to it, it puts it into the cult of science. And then once it's in the cult of science, it goes in the pharmaceutical industry and the magic's gone from it. And they're probably going to orchestrate it in a way that's going to create some other negative complication or contingency that you need another medicine, and down you go, which is what happened with all these nature compounds in nature that they end up isolating and juicing up or synthetically mimicking to the point where they're no longer beneficial. So the cult of science is a real issue. Mushrooms are whole and perfect and wonderful and should be consumed in their entirety. They can be consumed with other natural products to increase efficacy, especially at the supplement level when you're looking at microdosing as a supplement. But our company philosophy, my belief, is that the mushroom is whole, perfect, and divine. Grow it well, dry it well, grind it well, combine it with some other natural ingredients, and it tends to have a nice benefit in your life.
Beautifully said. I agree with you 100%, and I think the cult of science is doomed to perpetually just create these, you know, more complicated issues. You know, they seem to be obsessed with solutions, yet blinded to the fact that they only create more problems. So, yeah, it is a maddening thing, and I don't blame you for getting frustrated. I feel the same way when I listen to certain podcasts or certain people, and I don't think it's necessarily ego. It's wanting the world to reflect your values, because there's a significance to that, you know, and maybe the whole world doesn't share our values, but little by little, I think plants and mushrooms, specifically psilocybin, are going to help grease in the wheels and get people back to a more holistic way of living. You know, maybe something that we used to be before the age of agriculture and the wheel and all these things. But it seems like psilocybin is pulling us back into a, what do you call it? Not so much a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, but a perennial lifestyle where, you know, mushrooms don't need to be annually farmed. They're, as far as I know, I could be wrong here, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can promulgate mushrooms indoors.
Oh yeah,
pretty quickly. Like, it's not like growing corn or something.
It's a 3-week growth cycle.
Right.
Yeah, you can pull a harvest every month.
Right.
So look, for me, I don't think mushrooms want to move us back to hunter gatherer tribal living or anything.
I didn't mean it like that. I think that was just a setup.
I know what you're saying, but what I think mushrooms are using us as much as we're using them, because they need a world in which to exist. And they know that by connecting us to the divine and to nature, we're going to be more inclined to keep their world intact so that they can do their thing. So I think mushrooms use us as much as we use them.
Yeah.
But what I think mushrooms ultimately do is the concept of beneficence, you know, that they want to move you in a more beautiful direction. So you can have your modern life, you can have your technology, you can have your economy, you can have your capitalism, but can you do this all in a way that's more beneficent, that's more reverential of the glory of God and the beauty of humanity? You know, can you make your same cereal, but can you take the chemicals out of it? Can you make it in a way that's more beneficial? Can you just do things in a more godlike and divine capacity? Have the same life you're living, but can you do it in a way that's more supportive of overall life and your overall divinity? And it can happen right here and now. You know, you can change the way you shop. I saw a YouTube on a guy who was like a stoner, kind of schlubby, idiot young man. And he ate 5 grams of mushrooms. And he was not a deep thinker. And he was 20 years old. He wasn't in university. He was kind of middling in his life, what was going on. And as he's enthralled in this 5-gram dosage of mushrooms, he starts to eat McDonald's. And as he's eating this cheeseburger and the fries, the whole historical background of that food information flooded him. He felt the cow, the experience of the cow, the contained agricultural feed operation. He'd never thought about these things like the life of the cow, you know, the torturous, how miserable that existence was. He became the grain that was sprayed and chemicalized and never got to be the full expression of the grain that it wanted to be. The cheese, that it was made from oil, and then he went to the factory, and his mind just exploded. And it spontaneously changed the way that he ate for the rest of his life. He started, and this was at 20 years old, having never thought that way. Now he shopped at farmer's market. Now the food mattered to him. He still ate a cheeseburger, but now it was a cow that was like lived the cow's life, and the grain that grew the grain's life, and the cheese that was real cheese from real milk and a real farmer. So the web of life, the intricate dynamics and the way we can interact with each other in either the worst of ways or the best of ways, spontaneously became a realization to him and forever changed his life in the way that he eats. So that now when I saw this podcast, he was handsome, he was smart, he was fit. Like, and it all happened in one dose from eating a McDonald's. while he was tripping. So that's what the mushrooms want you to do. Eat the cheeseburger, man. But can the cow have lived the fullness of what a cow's life should be? And the rancher made a living, and that rancher's family made a living, and the cheese and the cheesemaker and the quality of that milk and that goat or that cow or that sheep, whatever it was. It wants, the mushrooms want everything to have the full expression of their own existence, and that in this beneficent coming together, everything is an expression of God's full existence, that each individual entity and unit and component was meant to have. And you can still have your economy. You can still do all the same things. But can it happen with a sense of beneficence?
Well,
for me, that's kind of the, you know, the ultimate expression of these things.
Absolutely. I love that. I love the idea that our mushrooms are encouraging us to create a world that reflects, you know, true beauty and the creator. Yeah, I think that's amazing. And if more people had that experience, maybe we would live in a world that reflects that. I think we're on our way to that.
I do too. I'm very optimistic.
With the help of podcasts like this and folks like yourself and all the great people you have working with you at Brain Supreme. But as we sort of wrap up this conversation, let's remind the folks that they can go to brainsupreme.co, use the promo code CRAZY25 for 25% off. This is a Black Friday special deal that's only going to last from when this episode is released to the 2nd of December. So if you're hearing this right now, act fast. Go and check out brainsupreme.co. They've got a full comprehensive course as well for all the anything you might need to know about microdosing if you aren't satisfied so far from this excellent conversation. But Adam, anything you'd like to say to wrap up? Any final thoughts or anything to promote?
No, I mean, that's it. I think we had a great conversation. I appreciate you so much, Mark. You kind of kicked it all off for me almost a year ago. So thank you for the good work that you do and all the other shows that you've helped get me on directly or indirectly. And I mean, that's it. The coaching course can help. The Brain Supreme coffee recipe, we got a lot of information on the website. There's, you know, other podcasts out there, but the coaching course can be very beneficial. And then, you know, you can reach me at through the website. I tend to reply to emails very quickly. I usually use like voice to email, so there might be, give me a little break in terms of some of the spelling and punctuation malapropisms, but I try to respond to customers and clients as quickly as I can, and I appreciate the support in the business.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can attest to that. You are always right there when I need you, and I appreciate it, and I look forward to the podcast advertiser company. I don't even know what to call it, but I look forward to our relationship growing.
Yeah, we've got a good thing going on. I appreciate
it. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And I think the audience is psyched to know, especially in a world like we're in today where, you know, fentanyl and all these other street drugs are making their way into things like cannabis. I've never heard that happening with psilocybin, but I really wouldn't trust a street dealer at this point in history with even something like psilocybin. Play it safe, be careful, and check out brainsupreme.co, because again, this isn't a get you high product, but you can have some fun, right? So
yes.
So Adam, you're the best. I appreciate it. And for the folks listening, look forward to more conversations like this one moving forward. Adam, you have an open invitation to join me back on the show whenever you feel appropriate. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. All right, and that was our conversation with Adam Schell, who joins us for a second time to talk about Brain Supreme. And yes, he is a sponsor of the podcast. I know people are going to say, oh, well, this is just a whole infomercial. Now, I want you guys to make an informed decision, and I also don't want you to get got as far as this market goes. It's not always trustworthy people that you're buying from, unfortunately. That doesn't tend to be the case most of the time, but it is, there is a percentage chance that you're going to get ripped off, or worse, sold something that isn't good for you to ingest. So with BrainSupreme.co, if you wanted to venture into that realm, you have a safe choice with someone who you can reliably hear from themselves and even reach out to. If you have a problem, you can reach out to Adam directly. So I think that makes this all the worthwhile and another conversation worth having. But I do understand the people who say, oh, well, you know, you have a guest on who's just there to talk about a product. But here's the other side of that coin. If the media that we, you know, consume is only showing us products from the mainstream that are full of chemicals and full of all sorts of BS, you know, isn't it maybe justified for someone like myself to use this platform to highlight companies that are actually giving you a benefit rather than ripping you off or selling you a product that's going to hurt you in the long run, or maybe even directly? Something like Raw Optics, BrainSupreme.co, or the Hit Kit, I think are great ways to show you guys alternative products and also get some value back, because I can't do this podcast for free. And yes, I do have other jobs, so I'm not just going to be begging on the street corner if this podcast doesn't go where it needs to go. But that's fine. I'm happy. I love this podcast, and I think it's growing at a tremendous rate, even still. So sign up on the Patreon or the Substack if you want the entire conversation of this episode and others. This episode is actually all there is. You heard the whole thing. But we do have the video version of this episode and others on the Patreon and Substack now. I will be uploading all of the videos there in their entirety. And then on YouTube, I'll be putting out maybe half an hour versions of the episode, just because the people who listen to the audio don't tend to listen to the YouTube, and the people who watch on YouTube don't tend to go and listen to the audio feed. So it's just entirely separate audience, it seems. So for you guys, I'm just going to offer an ad-free version of the show. If the episode goes longer than an hour and a half, I might save the additional part of the show for supporters only. And if you have some complaints about that, well, get in touch with me and I will explain to you why I feel justified doing so. And you can air your grievances and tell me why you think I should do it differently. So anyways, Adam is a great guy. He's been very helpful with this podcast. So if you're interested in psilocybin, I highly recommend you go and check out BrainSupreme.co and take advantage of that Black Friday sale. It only lasts until the end of the week. So promo code CRAZY25 while supplies last. And until next episode, immerse yourself in the moment wherever you are in the now. MFTIC. Broadcasting the moon matrix from the lunar surface. They want you confused like you never knew your purpose. Hopping through the portals, dismantling the machine. My family thinks I'm crazy, I can't believe what I've seen. Memories of a war, the Pleiadians and Anunnaki. Stuck within the genes of a copy of a human body. DNA fractal, the universe within me. Epiphanies of science is hoarded by the Illuminati. Puppet masters know the power of the mantra. Repeating mad lies till it has an effect on ya. Subliminal messages hijack your perception. Tricking the population with holographic projections. We see through it. The system is unraveling. I'm astral traveling through the library of the Vatican on a sacred journey. I embark with the squad for rougher spitting truth like Mark on the pod. Gotta know the facts, never hold back. Cause I ain't getting caught up in the soul trap. I dissect the fabric of reality, looking for the answers. Searching through the galaxy, you might be feeling stressed out. Depression, anxiety is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. You don't even know how powerful you are. We the ones who gonna expose the whole facade. I awoke in a deep underground military base. Zero recollection of how I got to this place.
Alien corpses floating in glass cylinders must have been extracted when they crashed into us. Animal hybrids contained in the cages. A lion with the eagle head. Monkeys with reptilian faces. Losing my mind and I'm feeling desperate. I look around the room and I see no sign of an exit. All of a sudden the wall flickers awake, revealing a hangar full of spacecraft. My getaway. I run to the nearest one. See a guard knock him out, robbing for his plasma gun. Hop in the ship, take the controls. They highly intuitive, I figure it out easily. Lift off, accelerate through a tunnel until I see the light. Fly into the sky, get flanked by six F-35s.
Gotta know the facts, never hold back. Cause I ain't getting caught up in the soul trap. I dissect the fabric of reality, looking for the answers. Searching through the galaxy, you might be feeling stressed out. Depression, anxiety is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a sick society. You don't even know how powerful you are. We the ones who gonna expose the whole facade.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.